home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road through the holidays. We're at Greenmount Station this week, and of course, next week we'll be having turkey, and then after that, we're going into December. There's going to be a lot of crab cakes going on. So many crab cakes that I'm actually going to Amici's. They didn't have a crab cake. They got a Pane Rotondo. They're going to mix it up. They probably got some pumpkin cheesecake and some cannoli there and some meatballs with gravy as well. But we're doing, we're going to Amici's. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at Costas. We're going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Cooper's North. So lots and lots of places. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery and Jiffy Lube. A multi-care. I was at Jiffy Lube Live. That's next summer. Luke Jones is here. He's live. We talk a lot of football around here. We'll continue to talk Lamar and holiday and Thanksgiving and all of that. But the Friday news dump in and around Steelers week and no free agent signings with baseball. And everybody can see I'm wearing my Curio Wellness orange and black off-season gear here in November. Defense. Dude, it's almost the punchline. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be judgmental about their science, and it feels like Greg Bader's still running the place when they're doing Friday afternoon news dumps, having the GM run away from the fence saying we made a big mistake, don't bring it up again. I don't know, dude. You get after it with the fence because we've talked about it a lot. I don't know. I mean it's just funny to me. It's comical more than it's functional.
I mean, first of all, it's not something to be outraged about. Let's be clear about that. And I'm not saying you're outraged. I thought from the moment I laid eyes on it on opening day, or it might have been the day before, they might have done a workout at the ballpark the day before in 22. The first time I laid eyes on it, and I've said this to you, I mean, this is not anything new. My thought instantly was there will be a course correction here. They'll find a happy medium. At that point, keep in mind the lease had not been officially signed. So my thought at that point was assuming there would be a lease, and there since has been one, of course, that when they did bigger long-term ballpark renovations, I thought that there would be a correction here because you just looked at it and you said, this is massive. I mean, this is, think of old Yankee Stadium, but pre-70s renovations. You think of Tiger Stadium in center field, like
Dude, if you
all of
want to
the.
do anything in this city, there's a board of this and a oversight of that and the government. Yeah, I mean, I guess when they did that a couple of years ago, it was John's like, we'll get more pitching.
Well,
Like I don't know that there was
and
a lot of pushback against whatever the idea was. And it had to have been John, right? I mean, John wanted to put his mark on everything without doing any work. Or somebody came in and said, do it. But this is there. This was not 10 smart people and Janet Marie Smith and architects looking at this. This was a whim. I mean, really.
I disagree. I disagree. I'm not sure John Angelos would have had the wherewithal to think in those terms, right? I think this was Michael Elias, Sig Meidel, people in baseball ops looking at what had been known for years, Nestor. Left field at Camden Yards needed to change. It absolutely did. When you cover games on a nightly basis, as I've had the privilege to do for close to 15 years, now it will be 15 years this coming year. When you see the number of what feel like routine fly balls, what look like routine fly balls off the bat of an Orioles player or a visiting player in the middle of summer, and you see it shoot out to left or to the ridiculous gap in left center, that absolutely was something that needed to
The
change.
364
However,
you're talking about.
yeah, I mean, just low wall, all of that. I had no problem whatsoever with the idea of making it more neutral. However, where they overshot this and where you look at it and say, wow, again, as I said to you, the first time I laid eyes on it at the beginning of the 22 season, I just thought there's no way it's going to stay like this, right? I mean, there's no way it can be this deep. This was an overcorrection. You don't want this place to be a bandbox, but suddenly you don't want it to be a place where no right-handed hitter wants to play here. You went from one problem in terms of attracting starting pitchers with all things being equal. And I'm not I'm not making a blanket excuse for the Orioles in terms of paying free agent pitchers. It, for the right price, you could have gotten anyone to come here. But all things being equal, if
Benny
you want to
Nagel
look at
went to
it,
Colorado.
right. If you want to look at it, however, as a tiebreaker and say all things being equal, yeah, a lot of pitchers looked at left field and Camden Yards and said, "Yeah, I'm not eager to sign up for that. I definitely am not." So I never had a problem with it. But when you look at this and you say now they're over, that they're correcting it, they're finding a happy medium. Keep in mind that the dimensions aren't going back to the original dimensions. Let's be very clear about that. I want to be fair. But you look at this and you make that change after just 3 seasons. It doesn't look great from an aesthetic standpoint. But for me, I guess my biggest gripe right now, and ultimately we're going to see how this plays out, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. The early indications are the club is paying for this as it pertains to what they're doing for 2025. Now, I would assume we're going to see long-term a vision for whatever they're going to do with that area, whether it's to add seats back into it to make it look more like the original configuration in left field in terms of wall and then fans immediately at that wall. Because right now, when you look, and I'm sure you've seen the mock-up of it as well, you've got this ugly gap now where you have a fence that is going to look more like it did before. However, you're not going to have any seats, and you're going to have this big gap now, and it's going to look a little bit like what Comerica Park dealt with when that park opened. Keep in mind that park was much more cavernous, and they course corrected. Citi Field with the Mets, they did the same thing. But that my pet peeve is from a cosmetic standpoint. What are you going to do with that space? If it's just going to be empty for 2025 and you're telling me that the long term, they make that into a party patio, they add seats back in, maybe they put up on the big wall that will now not be the true wall for home runs. Maybe they put the numbers of their retired players there as opposed to on the facing of the upper deck. Then I'll hear that. But for 2025, for a ballpark that you market the heck out of in terms of being the ballpark that forever changed baseball and being so beautiful and being a gem. Left field looks ugly now. I mean, it's going to look ugly. I mean, there were people who already didn't like what this had looked like over the last few years compared to the original structure, the original configuration.
The
But now
original
you're.
configuration had a crown, a gasoline sign on the left field wall.
Sure. But just in terms of the wall now, you are now going to have a shorter wall and then the bigger wall that was created in 22 will still be there for the time being. They're putting the platform up for Mr. Splash and left center, whatever on that. But it looks kind of ugly. So I like it from a baseball standpoint in terms of making it more, play more neutral, because I do think this will probably be the happy medium that, they should have probably just. In hindsight, I think their biggest misstep obviously was not changing the wall, but making it so drastic. If they had they their original plan should have been, let's move it back. We're going to take away some seats, but let's do this incrementally. Let's do this and move it back, I don't know, 10 feet rather than 30, or move it back 15 feet rather than 30. And then let's see how that plays for a couple years, because we can always take away more seats. We can always move it back. The problem is when you start wanting to go back and forth here, now what do you do? I mean, I understand that you can't just easily add seats back in without looking at the structural integrity of left field and figuring that all out. So that's why, to me, you shouldn't have gone as drastic as you did all at
Did
once, right?
Elias take credit or blame for that? Was it really his idea, and that's how the whole thing got done, and now
I
it's
absolutely
his
think it.
idea that they're moving it back?
I absolutely. I look. You know me. I have no affinity for John Angelos or defending him. I never once got the impression that that was a John Angelos initiative. I think that was a baseball ops
I
initiative
thought
in
that was a
saying.
baseball ops initiative to say to John, "We'll get pitchers."
I mean, I think that was. I think that was part of the sell job, sure. But I think there was absolute. I mean, Nestor, you know how that park played for so long,
Oh, I'm not disputing
right?
it. I'm
Right.
not at
Right.
all.
So,
I mean, I go back
and.
to when Mussina pitched in the 90s in Sutcliffe, and they had to bring Scott
Yeah.
Erickson in here to get ground balls. And yeah,
Right.
I get all that.
And I will, and I'll even say this, part of me is a little disappointed from the standpoint of I do like parks that play differently, right? I like the idea that Hitting a home run in Camden Yards had become something that in left field had become extremely difficult. However, when you're talking about someone like Ryan Mountcastle, who has always been a pro about it, he absolutely loathed, hated the new left field at Camden Yards. I'm sure Coby Mayo felt the same way. I'm sure Austin Hayes, felt the same way. How much of this might go into attracting a free agent outfielder? Like, I don't know. And this is a, I want to say it's a
To
pipe
your
dream because it's
point, had
not.
they done this in 1997 to keep Messina around, Cal Ripken would have hated it.
Sure. And there's always, look, there, I mean, there's always going to be someone that doesn't like it, right? Pitchers right now for the Orioles don't like the fact that the wall's moving back in, even though it's not moving back to pre-2022 dimensions. So you're always going to have some of that. So, and that's why, even as a reporter covering the team on a daily basis, and I don't say this as a knock on any peers, but I kind of got tired of seeing the, well, that would have been a home run in Camden Yards 3 years ago. It's like, but it's not anymore. So what are we doing here? Because it plays that way for both sides. You know, home runs that you might lose,
Aaron
you're also
Judge
going to.
lost a couple here too, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So that part of the narrative I was unmoved by, but just in a general sense, I kind of like the fact that it had become something that was unique. But now, okay, you're course correcting here. You're finding a happy medium, as Mike Elias alluded to on Friday. But what are you going to do with that space? That's the big question here. And all we know at the moment, and again, I assume this is a short-term part because, you know, it's been put out there that the Orioles are paying for this in the short term. And we know that there's $600 million available to them for the long-term renovation. So my gut tells me that what we're going to see in 2025 is not going to be how that space looks permanently. And I don't mean moving the dimensions again as far as the fence, but I mean that space behind it. Because now right down the line it's going to look the same, but you know, as we know, it juts back and it's like 373. And then, you know, it goes all the way around to the bullpen. That's the area that's going to get shorter. But what are you doing with that space in between where you kind of look at it? I think it's as you know, it's being moved in a range of 8 to I think up to like 26 feet or something like that, you know, depending on where you're talking about in left going out to left center. So what are you doing with that space? I mean, long term, is there an idea that maybe you move the bullpens and the patio or the left center bullpens now become some kind of party space? As you know, Nestor, we've had conversations with plenty of people talking about Stadia and the future of stadiums and social areas are a big part of that,
Well,
right?
you know, the
So,
original one in left field was the old Comiskey Park bullpen. There was a bullpen, you know, underneath left field. There was only people drinking behind Greg Luzinski, you know, back in the day. And, you know, whatever, whomever Katie Griggs hires, whether it's the Canopy people here locally or whomever, will have some updated version of the space that's not going to feel like 1989. And this conversation we've had about the wall and back and forth and all that, it'll go on and on. But I just found it to be interesting. It's a Friday news dump thing in November. Like, get out in front of it. Why are you hiding from anything? You had 10,000 empty seats in your playoff game. You know what I mean? Like, literally, why are you hiding from what are you ashamed of? You know, like, get out in front of it and sell it. Sell it like you sold it before. You and I have had a longer conversation than the press conference was, right? Like, so we're interested enough to talk about it in a week when we could be sitting here killing the Ravens and crushing Justin Tucker and talking about firing Harbaugh and what's going wrong with the Ravens. We could, you know, but we like baseball and we like talking about the finer points and all of that. They need to get out and not do Friday news hides. Can I ask you a question? You're so freaking serious in season, so I want you to pretend that you're John Harbaugh out of season before he lied to me all off season and threw me out and then sent me prayers. I no sense of humor about this. Just I'm being honest. I don't know the answer to this. How did the splash thing start? The Mr. Splash thing start, and the sprinkler thing that they right? Every team has a little they. Grab their doodads, they have a hitch, they grab their, they do something when they get a single, a double. Can you, I mean, I'm not, nobody's ever explained this to me. It's almost like we had Gary Michael Capetto on going kayfabe. Like, I'm not being kayfabe. I see the guy in the splash and the 2-2 and I like, My wife and I, I feel like I'm in the soap opera, but I came in late. Nobody's explaining what the hell happened because I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, home run celebrations have become more of a thing in dugouts in recent years. We've seen the same thing in football. Miami, what was it? Probably 5, 6, 7 years ago at this point, the turnover chain, right? The Orioles in, what was it? I guess it was 22 is when they had a home run chain. And you can still buy
Adam
those at the
Jones did
team store.
pies after the games. I
Yeah,
mean, there's,
I mean, there's
but you're
always been
talking
this kind
about
of
a
stuff.
home run celebration with
Yeah.
sunflower seeds or like that, right?
Or some kind, I mean, you look and if you pay attention and you watch enough baseball that's not just the Orioles, you'll see all team, just about every team has something. Some of it's more clever than others. A lot of it's campy. A lot of it's lame. I mean, for lack of a better
You
description.
know what? It's
But
exactly what you just explained is exactly what end zone celebrations have
right.
become for
And
me, which is just sort of like, get do the Ozzie Newsome, give the ball up, do the
that's
Derrick
fine.
Henry.
But
Yeah,
not
you know.
everyone's like that, right? But even then, to your point, the Derrick Henry or the Barry Sanders, that has become a celebration in and of itself because that's become the rarity, right? So when someone doesn't do something, that has its own brand now as well. So look, I mean, it's a generational thing. I'm fine with it. I don't have any problem with it. But in 23, remember, that's when they started the home run, the home run
The
funnel, the
bong.
dong bong, whatever
Right.
you know, I still remember being there the night that Kyle Gibson, who, you know, is good man, probably not someone who wanted to have bong, you know, as you know, the connotations of a beer bong or a beer funnel associated with it. So he kind of said, okay, it's not the dong bong, but everyone knew it was, that's what it was. It's fine, right? But they used water, obviously, and they kind of, you know, they, this whole water themed element kind of sprang from it, right? I mean, they do the sprinkler and all the different things that, you know, when someone has a single, they turn on the faucet, double, all that, right? And obviously, you hit a home run, you come and take a drink. And obviously, it evolved a little bit this year, but the Mr. Splash thing just evolved from that. I never heard the specifics of
Was
like,
this TJ Brightman or Greg Bader? I mean, like,
I
I'm
don't know for
trying to
sure.
get how in the like this human, whoever the guy in the suit is, he
Yeah.
signs autographs, he drinks coffee, drinks bad coffee, by the way. But like, I've seen this thing happen,
Yeah.
and I don't know that I've even gone to the hit my head on the Baltimore Banner's paywall to even
Yeah.
like have it explained to me that it wasn't some completely. Like Dan Fan Man Dan, the camera guy caught him. He took his shirt off. He's a
Right.
celebrity now. Captain Defense started in my section with my D. He became Captain Defense because he had a defense sign that I gave him that I printed. That's how he
Right.
became Captain Defense. So I don't know the origin story of the splash guy or what his name is or what his day job
Yeah.
is or when he became an or like I thought maybe he was a fan who did it who took it to the team and said I'll stand out there and put a 2-2 on and splash like I it's the goofiest thing because it doesn't feel I don't know the story so it's hard for me to sort of buy in above and beyond everybody's getting wet out there and Rubenstein's been out there and Joan Jett and Rip I mean I get all that but they never ever explain that this was Greg Bader's great idea or TJ like it just doesn't I'm a storyteller I'm just trying to like connect the dots on Wild Bill I know the Wild Bill story he sat up there he was a cab driver he started spelling things with his beer buddies more people came I was one of them I can tell you the story 40 years later I don't know the splash guy story I really don't.
Yeah, and look, I mean the player celebration, that's the organic part, and then they latched onto that. I mean, I think it's fine. I've had friends, you know, personal friends sit in the splash section, and it's fun. And look, is it as organic as Wild Bill in Section 34 at Memorial Stadium? No. But what is it in this day and age,
Yeah,
right? There are very
but
few
they're
things
giving
that are
this guy
organic.
a stand now
Yeah.
after as part of the re. That's the only
Right,
reason I
right.
even brought it up. If they
Yeah.
splashed in right field, they moved left field, I probably wouldn't even. But I wrote down, I'm like, splash
Yeah, there's a
sprinkler.
platform. Yeah.
I mean,
Yes.
and again, you and I don't talk about this on July 23rd because CNL
Because there's
Perez
games
blew
going
it
on.
last night.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
like
exactly. I
you,
mean,
yeah, we got games going. Get off my lawn.
exactly.
Exactly. So I'm trying to like.
Yeah.
Provide a little levity here. Not even levity. I mean, I'm just so you don't even know. And I don't
I
know.
really
You don't
don't.
know,
I
and I don't
don't.
know. We know a lot, but we don't know that, which tells
I
me that
know.
they've done a really lousy job of telling that story or making up. Like when you go into Ocean City, into Jonah and the Whale, It's just a play, but they have a story up there about the
Yeah.
whale, and they make you sort of buy in a little bit, like the Renaissance Festival. So
I don't
I'm
know. I
just.
mean, I hear you. I don't think it's that deep. I
Well,
know
they
that this.
sell the hell out of it, so
Well, they
yeah, I
do,
mean.
but I guess my point is, I think there's something to be said that it's kind of funny that there's no, that Mr. Splash isn't someone that's like known, like other than like his closest friends, I guess, as far as being really known. And I'm sure there's probably
I'm
some
sure the guy's
reporters
name's
who's,
Bob or something. I don't know. I just
yeah,
I
I
don't
mean,
the story
my.
doesn't it doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm an Oriole fan for 50 years. I'm just put make it make sense to me. That's all. And
I mean, I
if it
don't.
making sense is we go out, we get wet, and it's fun. Okay, that's
And I think
fine, I
and I
guess.
think that's all it really is. I
Okay,
mean,
all right.
in the sense that, like, I don't know anything about Real Fan Dan. I mean, I could friend request him on Facebook, but I don't say this with any disrespect. I don't really have any interest in knowing Real Fan Dan other than just like, hey, he's at the games. He could be your uncle. He could be your brother. He could be your dad. Like, it's fine. Like,
He's Real Fan
and
Dan.
yeah, exactly. And I think the one thing with the splash zone that they've done that has been fun is incorporating, putting Adam Jones out there on a special night, putting Ben McDonald out there, putting Cal Ripken. We saw David Rubenstein out there. I
So if
mean,
that's a great way to that you that's a great
yeah.
explanation to Katie Griggs, if you're explaining it to her, saying,
Sure.
what is this? What's the chance to have the fan of the game? It's a
It's a
12th
fan.
fan.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah,
fan, and it's a
you're
way
in
to have some.
Seattle, it's the 12th man fan
Right,
thing.
exactly. So again, I mean, that part of it, I mean, I like that they're not just completely scrapping it because they're changing the dimensions of left center field, but
It would have made a
it's
lot more sense if that person was wearing a Wild Bill hat. That's all I'm saying. But
fair
look,
enough.
Luke
Fair
is
enough.
here, and we're talking about anything else that's completely meaningless about the offseason. You want to talk about real baseball? You want to get serious, put your serious hat on for a minute or no?
I mean, we can put our series out. I mean, I
We
don't
did
know
that
how.
last week for 65 minutes, and I had Juan Soto come in here, and you're like, we can't afford him. Let's not
No,
get
I never said
crazy.
that. I never said that. I'm being realistic, though. I mean, and I'm being realistic from the standpoint of, yeah, they can afford him, but then what is the payroll moving forward?
I don't
Because
know. That's what my question
right,
is.
sure. Well, and they're not going to broadcast that, though. You know that. We're going to see. It will, this will become very evident to us by March, just how serious they are in terms of augmenting their current roster, which, by the way, is still very good. Let's not act like this is a team that's, they're not a poverty franchise in terms of what the makeup of their current roster is. They need to make some additions. There's no question about that, but they've got a good base to go off of here, right? So let's put that, we'll put that out there. But come March, we're going to see what this looks like in terms of what they've done to fortify their pitching, in terms of adding a right-handed bat, in terms of perhaps adding, a couple veteran players who maybe have some postseason experience and maybe carry some clout in that way. Not as dramatic as Frank Robinson joining the 1966 Orioles, but something in that family of thought, right? In that school of thought, in terms of, is there someone out there, even if he's not going to be one of your two or three best players, that could be brought in here that, has a reputation for being a good glue guy, has played in the World Series, has played in postseason, and has had some success even. And there are guys like that out there. But, for me, and I've even seen this here recently, one thing that bothers me at this point when I see individuals, and I don't mean this as a shot at anyone, but when you hear people talk about how to fortify, how to augment, I still see people talking so much about trades. And I guess this is where I have a problem in terms of saying they've made some trades. They got Corbin Burnes. Great. It didn't work out in terms of everything around him, but he was exactly as advertised. It just stinks that they lost Kyle Bradish and they lost Grayson Rodriguez in the second half. And they lost Tyler Wells, and John Means never got healthy and had to have Tommy John
Well,
surgery
really, at the
again.
end of the day, they got eliminated because they didn't hit the ball.
Well, sure, but everything, right? All of it comes to, all of it goes together. And they had injuries, offensively as far as Jordan Westberg and how much that hurt them.
They got
And
what they
then
paid for with Corbin Burnes, even if Ortiz
exactly,
goes to the Hall of
exactly.
Fame, I
So
guess.
I'm not sitting here trashing that trade by any stretch of the imagination. And I think I even pointed out to you, go look at Joey Ortiz's second half of the season. It wasn't great. Really wasn't. As much as like everyone was saying, hey, this guy's gonna be an all-star shortstop, His second half was maybe not Adley Rutschman
I
bad,
was going to
but
say,
it
it's better than Rutschman.
wasn't much better than him in all truth. So, and I don't say that to bash Joey Ortiz. He's a legit major league player. Point is, that trade I have no problem with. I guess where I have a problem is if we're going to continue to try to convince ourselves that the only way the Orioles can get better is by trading more prospects. That's where I look at this and say, look, at the trade deadline, yeah, that's what you have to do because you can't go out and sign a premier free agent at the trade deadline, right? You have to trade for one. Now, you can take on money, which they did with Eflin, but this is all about, at this point for me, scanning the free agent market. I'm not saying you can't make any trades, but I don't want this to become that you have to continue to trade away from your farm system and trade away from your farm system and trade away from your farm system. And now that pipeline that you've been talking about that you've sold in terms of how this team is going to be sustainably good for a really long time. And that absolutely is a big part of it. Ask the LA Dodgers, who have a $300+ million payroll, how important their farm system has been to them winning championships and being in the playoffs year after year. I mean, it's a big part of what the Dodgers have done, in addition to obviously going out and buying
Well, dude, that
Shohei
was
Ohtani.
always with the Yankees that 30 years ago when
Sure.
Jeter, Rivera, those guys came through. They got players, they kept their players.
Right.
Maybe we have those players, maybe we don't. But to your point, you've moved sideways if you've given up five prospects to get two starters when you could go
Exactly.
out in the free agent market and buy starters,
And I want a
which is
combination
what
of that.
everybody else who's a big boy does. Not John Angelos. It's what serious Major League Baseball teams do. It's
But
what
it's
they do.
well, and I would say this. Look, taking the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Philly, the top, the elite tier in terms of payroll. Just look at the next tier, right? The teams that rank 5 through 12, let's say. And I've talked a lot about how the St. Louis Cardinals at different points have been in that tier, and sometimes they're a little bit, on the lower side certain years, and then they go back up. There are ebbs and flows to it in terms of, what players you develop, who you want to keep, who you say goodbye to. I mean, the Cardinals, it was what, 14, 15 years ago at this point in time that they said goodbye to Albert Pujols. They got a lot of criticism from a lot of people for that. It was really smart that they let him go. Albert Pujols, he had a couple really good years with the
Dude, the
Angels.
Ravens played a game. You can go back and look it up. Whatever year he walked, four, five, six, seven, whatever year that was, the Ravens played in St. Louis. Might have been five. The Ravens played a sort of a Chris Redman-y kind of era game out there. And I have pictures on the streets of St. Louis with people keep Albert. They made signs like Free the Bird signs. They
Yeah.
made defense signs that said keep Pujols in St. Louis. And
Well,
everybody had them.
that was 2011. I mean, he
11. I'm
left. Yeah,
sorry.
yeah.
My
No,
bad.
it's
Yeah.
okay. I mean, look, it's been a
I'm
while.
old.
All these years run together. But the point with I'm making there is, it's both, right? Your farm system needs to matter. You can make trades and trade from that farm system because yes, there are sometimes unique talents that you say, I want to go get that guy, and I want to go get that guy. And I guess I would feel better about the Orioles doing that if that comes with a contract extension then. So it's not another case where you're trading Joey Ortiz and DL Hall, who, again, I don't think are going to be these guys that are transcendent major league players for the next 10 years. I mean, DL Hall had the same issue in Milwaukee that he had in Baltimore. He couldn't stay healthy this past year. I mean, that's still the issue for DL Hall. So, but the point is, if you're going to trade from your farm system, I want to make sure that you are securing long-term pieces, not just, oh, this is just a rental. Oh, this is just a rental, because you deplete the farm system. Your teams have been better, so you're no longer drafting in the top five. And obviously, the draft system and all that has changed anyway. But you don't want to continue to have a drain of your farm system. And then you look at this thing and you still haven't increased payroll all that much. And where are you as an organization? And then suddenly you see, oh, your window's closing.
What do
So,
you like best about this period piece that I shared here with anybody watching on our video? This is Andrew. Just listening on the radio, you have no idea. Luke started to laugh out loud because I found my picture
there
from
you go.
September 25th, 2011. Gotta love baseball in St. Louis. Keep Albert in St. Louis. com. And there's a very pretty girl here wearing a number five, and her boyfriend who's got a hat that looks like it's right out of the Lou Brock era, the Stan Musial era, in your favorite place there. I even got the Gateway Arch in there for you, the famed Gateway Arch.
Yeah,
So, look,
but there you
mistakes are
go.
made all the time. You know what I'm saying? We had Chris Davis.
I was just going to say, I mean, sometimes the mistake is signing the player. Sometimes, of course, the mistake is letting them go. In
I
the
don't
case of
think letting Machado go was a mistake. I think not getting more for him was the mistake there.
the
Because if you're
mistake
not
was,
going to be in, you have to go one way or the other. You
I mean,
didn't maximize the value, is what I would
I
say.
mean, let's face it. In hindsight, and I don't even think this is hindsight because I feel like we were talking about this the off season before, or even two off seasons before. I think we all recognized for the Orioles where things were heading. 2014 felt like their last best chance, right? Not to say they weren't, and they made the playoffs in 2016 when Zach Britton was left in the bullpen and Toronto walks it off against Eduardo Jimenez. At that point in time, that was really, if this had been a functional, normal organization with good ownership, and a general manager and a manager who were aligned, which we know Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, as much as they made it work for a few years towards the end, it was not as kumbaya. I think that's, that's obvious. And I'm not even blaming one or the other. I think there were, they just were different. They were different. We know that the hierarchy was weird because Dan Duquette was hired after Buck Showalter was hired, right? I mean, Buck came in 2010 and Duquette came in post 2011 when McPhail left. So, but post 2016 was when those difficult conversations needed to start in terms of, okay, where are you going with Manny Machado? Where are you going with payroll? Where are you going with this team?
Well, you'd
They
like to
are.
think that those conversations are being had right now by kid, that these are serious people
These are
and
always
there's a 5 or
conversations. Yeah.
7 year plan to say where are we going to be. And part of this, I put this St. Louis stuff up, Luke, and it's off season, and I've got to be the prick in the room again and just say, in St. Louis, they have businesses that have supported skyboxes. They have fans that come from everywhere that have supported it for a generation and have Cardinals hats and grandmoms and granddads. And there'd be 3 days a year your mom and your sister would bring the kids and like all of that. I've seen all that in St. Louis. Sustainable, sure. They lost their football team. I don't know if you heard or not, but they have a
Yeah.
hockey team, very vibrant soccer scene there, amongst other things. There's a million things. There's colleges there. There's things to do. But I don't know where Katie Griggs was sold on this job that there are 1.2 million citizens and the city is suffering atrophy and is down to 450,000 residents and they're 28% Hispanic and 74% African American and these people have left and these I don't know what all of their bourgeois studies are in regard to what they think the market is, what the market would bear, what the economists would tell you the money is and like all of that. I've sat with Dick Cass for 25 years before he lied to me, threw me out about no Fortune 500 companies here and all of that. I really would like to see some, and I'll say projection because that's the word they would use in a budget, projections, all of the fancy words that I use here as a CEO that I have to deal with banks and loans and people and partners and all of that stuff. But what they really think the ceiling is for this, what the cost is going to be for that, and whatever the stadium new thing's going to be, where the benefits are with gambling, selling drinks, parking, how much they think some Joe in Middle River is going to pay, or your brother, your sister coming down from Pennsylvania, or somebody coming in from how much is a ticket? How much is a skybox? Who's buying it? Who are the targets to buy these suites back at what price? How much are we going to charge Wise Markets and Zips Dry Cleanings and Royal Farms? How much more can we get from them, or can we get any more? And how much to push Royal Farms out and bring Wawa in? And like that, they're figuring all of that out. Great. You go figure that out. Katie, you're smarter than me. You know more about Baltimore than I do. You would never want to hang out with anybody that sold sports here for 40 years successfully so far. What's the ceiling? What? How much are they going to make? How are they going to make it? Where's the TV revenue coming from? What really happens to Masson? Peter's gone, John's gone. They're all Rob Manfred's still here. Rob, what's really going to happen with what's really? What are you telling David Rubenstein to just put a billion eight up with his buddies, his Sharpies, to tell them the pipeline for revenue for media and streaming and what we used to call television and rights fees and all of that? Where is all that? Where's BAL and 98 Rock fit into this? Where's your online? Where's the revenue? Where is it coming from? Where are the fans? How much will the market bear? And then you get a number. How much is national revenue? How much are we getting for the branding and the t-shirts and the $300 jerseys I saw for Adley Rutschman up on the team store in New York City last week? And then how much are we going to put in payroll? How much money do we need to make? What's our exit strategy? Because these guys didn't buy this at a billion eight, not finding an exit strategy that's 10 years from now at 4.2 billion with projections about the casino they're going to add and the upper deck. I mean, these are sharp people, I think. Maybe they're morons. I don't know. Maybe he's just a rich guy that bought the team. It's certainly, I met him last week. It's possible. I don't know. Maybe he portrays some ignorance that he clearly doesn't have as a billionaire. But at some point, no matter what business you're in, Luke, even if you hate the media, me, love the media, you, give you free hot dogs or not, or whatever they do, you have to answer to the stakeholders. You have to answer to the customers. McDonald's tells people what's going to be on their Happy Meal menu next year. Like every bit, Royal Farms calls me every 60 days and we change out chicken ads for the next thing they're going to sell for coffee this time of year and free coffee on the app, which is a great idea if you have the ROFO app, by the way. I know they're new, but as this thing evolves and they build civic trust with stakeholders, we start to vibe out whether they're the Cardinals and we should be bought in the way every Cardinals fan has been bought in, or whether this is some pigsty like the Miami Marlins have been, or whether this is just a grab bag for an old guy to have a little bit of fun and flip it off to his partners 5 years from now because they win. And how they're going to win, and they could win this year without doing much. If they get a little pitching, they can win. They're good enough to win. But how serious is this operation in regard to what the citizens have put in and where it's supposed to be 10 years from now, even if Mr. Rubenstein's not a part of that at 84 and Mr. Arrighetti is or whomever it is? This is the beginning of them. I literally just got my new credit card in the mail. Literally, I just got my new, literally. This is their chance to get my WNST corporate credit card with a $2,500 an annual honorarium that I used to give to the business of Chad Steele. Actually, $3,800 I used to give to Chad Steele. So I have $3,800 a year I don't give to the Ravens anymore. I have a credit card here. I love my last name's Aparicio. Do you know my cousin's the only Venezuelan in the Hall of Fame? I don't know that I knew that before 8 weeks ago. Like I had to Google that. I'm like, well, Concepcion's not in. They haven't put Cabrera. I'm thinking so I love baseball and I have a credit card literally right here and they should be trying to get it. Not hide the wall on Friday, not hide from me at parties or any, literally anyone, in my way of thinking about this, I don't, I don't know. I'm done. My spiel's over.
You done? We're gonna see. I mean, we're gonna find out. I mean, look, so everything you're mentioning, I'm not sitting here disagreeing with you. At the same time, I'm not sure how many franchises across the country are broadcasting these types of things either, right? I mean, these are things that go on behind the scenes, and it's gonna become pretty apparent pretty quickly, right? Which way this is going,
Oh, well, you have nothing else to judge them on. I'm
or
not going to get a
whether,
question. I
right?
can only judge them on
Exactly.
their actions,
No,
right?
exactly.
And their
But
first
more,
action is a Friday afternoon news dump to move the wall back in. Okay, go for
but
it.
at, I mean, how many teams are, I mean, but where, how do you want them? How should they have done that? It's,
I
they're
don't
moving,
know. They just felt like they're trying to
but that's
hide
my
it.
point. See, I disagree from the standpoint of Mike Elias came on and did a Zoom and took questions on it. Hiding it would have been putting it out at an, I think the Zoom was at 3 o'clock on Friday. And okay, I get it. It's Friday. Although you and I both know the Friday news dump doesn't really exist anymore, at least to the degree that it used to, right? Because the internet and social media, there's never a time where that stuff goes away in the
The
way that.
kayfabe part of this for anybody listening is if you want to hide from it, do it
No,
Friday at three
I hear
o'clock.
you. I
So
hear you.
why they shouldn't be hiding from anything with 10,000 empty seats out. They
I
should
hear
be
you.
selling everything they're
But you're
doing.
not selling the wall though, because you're not adding new seats into it. The only way that would have made
It's
sense
just a
here.
news item, dude. That's all.
I hear you.
I'm thinking like a PR. I'm thinking like Vince
But you're
McMahon.
criticizing it, and I just asked you how they should
I'm
have done
not
it differently.
criticizing anything other than their off seasons
Sure.
of 30 years of complete insignificance. They don't sell anything. They don't try to sell anything.
I
They
understand, but
should
I
be
asked you, what
selling the
should they
spirit
do? But you
of.
said you don't know how they should have done it differently. So then why are we using this
Well,
as an
then
example?
don't do it Friday at 3 o'clock, is what I'd say.
Okay.
That's all. Do it
So do it
Tuesday
Tuesday. All right.
at 10 a.m.
I mean, again,
and
I agree with you on
make it
so many.
something that you serve some lunch and we all come down and we actually talk
I
about it
don't want to go
and you
down
get the
there
city
for
talking
that.
about it a
I
little
don't want
bit.
to go down there to cover the wall being moved back.
I
Come
got
on,
you. All
man.
right, man. I got you.
I cover the team, and I cover. Just
We've
do a
already
Zoom.
done
That's
a
fine.
half an hour on the wall
No,
and
but
the
I'm just
aspects of
saying.
the
Let's
home
just do a
run
Zoom. You
pitching
know,
and
we could
payroll.
do it over a Zoom. Now, where I will agree with you, for example, when they traded for Corbin Burns, and all they did was a Zoom, that is when. Bring him down to Camden Yards. I don't care if he's balking because it's 5 days before the start of spring training. Give him a bonus. Give him every single gift certificate to every place in the city he might want to eat. Do everything you have to do to bring him to Camden Yards. Do a press conference. Do a photo shoot with him wearing an Orioles cap and jersey, standing on the mound at Camden Yards. Even if the field is being seated or something like whatever. That was an example where I agree with you wholeheartedly. The dimensions changing, that's sufficient for a
Okay, well,
Zoom.
let's
That's
see when
fine.
they sign another Corbin Burns. I just
Sell it. I agree. But let me
I've
be
been
clear.
so busy with the music crap I'm doing this
I
week and the
know.
holidays and my family and a sales cycle and crab cake tours, like all of that. I have not inked my Katie Griggs letter. I wrote a letter to David Rubenstein, which was about my access and about being on the up and up, not being full of bullshit the way the other guy was, right? So now I've met David Rubenstein and it is what it is, right? At some point, Katie Griggs is out selling this every day. And people came up to me last week at a Connects event where there were 300 people. My friend Jason Pappas gave a speech about CEOs and stuff like that. But I saw people out there and they all saw me and they come up to me and they want to talk baseball with me. And, off season, we spending money. Like, what should we do? They don't, they defense, whatever. They don't talk about that kind of stuff. They want to talk about the team. And they inevitably asked me about my press credential. Every one of them asked me about it. And I said, this is exactly the room Katie Griggs should be in. Where there's 300 people, I know 90 of them because I've been doing this forever. There's black people, white people, old people, young people, people in all sorts of weird sectors of cleaning businesses and cyber businesses, local businesses, and crab cake delivery. Steve Pappas was there for Pappas, and Justin Wendell. So, like, there's just this cross section of people. She didn't know anybody in Baltimore. And I'm thinking to myself, should be going in the rooms where, if you're serious about running this thing, to knowing people, to making it feel like you're like a community member and not like that I'm an ATM with my credit card standing by because I love baseball and you sign a pitcher. It just used to be much more of a community thing, Luke. I just, and I know you don't expect that. And I kind of, now that I'm holding my credit card, I'm going to demand that. So, and if they're not going to give that back, then don't talk about being the community organization that you want to be if you're not going to front face with a real plan. You got new owners, do something. Call a real press conference, wash John Angelos out, have Katie Griggs sit there, invite everybody, invite fans, invite people, and ask questions and show us what the new thing's going to be beyond giving out hats, squirting, and showing up at events and speaking and leaving and having an off season where there's no juice here. Tell me you're going to have spring training game. Tell me you're doing to just get in front of me. Have a winter carnival. Open the club level on a Tuesday night in December. Make tickets half price if you come down. and we're going to get free ho-hos and ding-dings and Santa's lap and free cocoa. I mean, like, I don't, again, these were all things that were 30 years ago, they did
Right.
forever. The expectation level and the Stockholm syndrome of everyone, you included, with
No,
just
hey,
Juan
I think
Soto,
that's
and
unfair.
people
I think
come up
that's
to me
unfair.
and they say to me, who are we
Don't,
signing? And they say, we can't sign Juan Soto. That
you
is
don't
a
like people attacking your integrity, and you're saying that
no.
I'm
It's
being
not
an,
integrity.
you just suggested I'm an apologist for the team.
I'm
Simply
suggesting that you
because of,
have lowered your bar
because I
for
don't think
what.
they're going to have a $300 million payroll, Nestor. That's not lowering the bar. That's living in reality.
That
This is
one
more akin,
player,
is it?
any player, any player.
I didn't say that. I'm telling you from a reality-based standpoint that they're not going to have a $300 million payroll. That's not being an apologist for the team. That's
When people
recognizing
come to
that
your
it's
cocktail parties and
Baltimore
say,
and not New
we're not
York.
getting this guy, we're not getting that guy, that's 30 years. Honest to God, that's 30 years of Stockholm syndrome. We can't, because I lived through Jimmy Key, Roberto Alomar, where they had money. And
But
if these
you're
guys
talking
want
out
to
of both
splash,
sides of your
these are
mouth, though.
billionaires,
You're
Luke.
talking about how they can't even get people to come here for playoff games, and then you're saying they should sign Juan, that
Well,
sign Juan
exactly.
Soto.
Yeah, exactly. That
I
is
mean,
their conundrum.
I
That
just
really is their conundrum, though. That's Major League Baseball's conundrum, though, Luke. Really. I mean, we're being kayfabe if we don't bring that up, that we don't discuss anything like this with football as to the best five guys. We can't get that. We're only five teams can get those guys. And that philosophy, and certainly on a personal level.
You do realize that the NFL has a system where the top five free agents never hit the market because they have the franchise tag, and quarterbacks stay with their own team because they're tagged.
Because teams like the Pirates don't pocket all their money,
No, but my point
even
is,
though the Bengals have tried like hell. So I'll throw that out as well.
but
Yes.
football, there is there there are there are there's a system put in place that the absolute best of the best players never hit the market because they're tagged.
We're just in a different place. If you're telling me we can't have the good things, we can't get the best things
That's right. I'm just an
here.
apologist. That's fine.
That's your word for it. You think that's being a realist, right? I mean, you would call
Nestor,
that a realist. I'm not
I'm
calling that an
trying to be an
apologist.
analyst here. I'm trying to be an analyst here. I'm trying to look at all the information that we have, okay? I don't think it's realistic to even talk about the Orioles signing Juan Soto. Do I think they could? Yes, absolutely, they could. Part of what I'm also doing here is looking at who their general manager is, who their baseball operations department is, how they have operated, how I expect them to operate. And I don't think they're going to view it through the lens of thinking that is probably going to be the best way for them to exhaust all of their resources of what they're projecting their payroll to be over the long run and pumping that into one player making that much money. Now, that said, that does not mean that I'm saying that they should be like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays, or that they should have a payroll that is going to be bottom five or bottom 10 in baseball.
Would you
I've said
project that Gunnar Henderson, if he's Gunnar Henderson, that they would have the $51 million a year in 2028, that they will absolutely make that happen? And there's no way you can promise on any of this. We had
I
Adley
can't pro
Rutschman
right. I
on,
mean, I
right?
can't promise any
But
of that. And
to me, they already know, or they should already
right.
know whether they're going to operate like you think they're going to operate, which is the why feed them steak when they'll eat hamburger, and that's the way it's always been. And that will be a divide between you and me. And if you think it's personal, it's not. It's not you being an
No,
apologist. It's you just lowering your bar.
I
Like,
just
we've
took
all
I
lowered our
took it.
bar for 30 years on the baseball thing here. And I think that you shouldn't think that way when billionaires come in here and think like billionaires and think they want to win and be Mr. Big Pants, that it wouldn't be a big stretch for Mr. Arrighetti and Mr. Rubenstein, who sat in front of me and bragged about all the money he has, to say, we're going to operate $100 million upside down the first 5 years here. That's $500 million. It's a half a billion. We bought the thing at a depressed level. We got $600 million in civic funding. We're
Right.
not going to be the $104 million payroll team. We're going to be the $230 million payroll team for 5 years, even if the seats are empty, because we're wealthy and we want to win, and we don't need to operate this. Rubenstein said in front of me,
Right.
in front of a whole synagogue last week. A, he doesn't know anything about baseball. I'm not being mean. I sat there. It's one of the reasons they're going to keep him
Plenty of
away from it.
owners don't, though. Plenty of owners don't know about
So
football,
all
and
he knows is what he's told, right? And then he parrots what he knows. This is a guy that I know a lot more about baseball than David Rubenstein. Like, that just flat out. I'd sit in a room. I'll tell you, I've been doing this 40 years. I know. You're right. So that being said he parroted out there. And he says a lot of things very matter-of-factly in his delivery. And I pay attention to all of it because I'm never going to speak to him probably again. Or if I do, it's not going to be in a getting a real answer. He said, yeah, in our industry, we tend to, spend what we make. Okay. Like, if that's it, then you are absolutely right. You're right to be mad at me and angry at me for expecting more or for calling you an apologist when you're really being a realist. You're not apologizing because he's not apologizing. We only made 125 million. We spent 125 million. That's what we made. I mean, that's what like it'll be the Bud Selig thing. We're coming into this. It's we have plenty of money. Money's not a problem. Like all of that. Or we're going to operate bone on bone or dollar on dollar. And you see those empty seats out there? That's where Gunnar Henderson went. He went with those empty seats because we couldn't afford him, because we can't afford nice things. And if we grow our own Juan Soto, tough poopskies, he's going to go somewhere else because Gunnar Henderson may be better than Juan Soto by the time he hits, I mean, literally. And once the Dodgers get involved and Mr. Big Pants says, well, I'm 78 now, and we were in a championship game the other year. We did okay, and I'm going to flip the team anyway. And there's still 10,000 seats in the upper deck because Katie couldn't figure out how to price it right because $10 to get in wasn't enough. I mean, they need more fans. They need more money. I'll keep saying that in order to affect even Gunnar Henderson. They need more fans, more money than where they are from a revenue standpoint and from a potentiality of their revenue. But I hate that going into this already, we've lowered the bar to say, well, if Gunnar got to be too much money, we'd have to let him go, because his agent's a bad guy, and we already know all of that. We already know where this usually goes with Boris to the 11th hour, and by then it'll be $800 million, and who knows who's running it or what the success would be. But I just worry about coming into this. They're brand new. They haven't taken any questions from you yet, or me, or anybody else about lowering the bar as to, well, we're not going to be top shelf ever around here. That would sadden me with the government giving $600 million and like all that it could be. I don't expect it to be the Yankees, but I expect it to at least be the Cardinals. At least
Yeah.
in my mind.
And this is where I took issue with you accusing me of having Stockholm syndrome, because I've been saying that for 3 years now. I've been saying that before David Rubenstein bought the team, before we even heard of David Rubenstein in baseball ownership space. I've been saying that a vision for a long time should be the St. Louis Cardinals. Different market. I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but St. Louis and its footprint in that region is hardly the Yankees or the Dodgers. It's not LA or Philadelphia or New York. I mean, we know it's not a media monster, but there's a potential there. And I think, again, running it well. You mentioned lowering the bar. The bar has been low, right? The bar has been at the bottom floor. So for me, I guess for me is my focus isn't on go sign Juan Soto right now and put it on in the penthouse immediately. But there are a lot of levels in between building from where you are right now to maybe that being in the discussion at some point. And look, Gunnar Henderson, if you re-sign him, and but it's not until 5 years from now, he might be getting the same kind of contract that Juan Soto is going to get this offseason. So I guess for me, it's just looking at the full range of outcomes here between it not really changing a whole lot from how it's been, or even when it's been good for the select seasons over the last 30 years, to what you're envisioning it becoming. And I guess for me, I don't view Juan Soto through the lens of the end all be all. There are 25 different paths that the Orioles could take this offseason that involve spending money and getting better players and augmenting and improving your roster and not just depleting your farm system and making trades, because that's the cheapest way to get a player. Although I'm not opposed to making trades, of course. So I guess for me, I'm just looking at it, I guess, from a wider range of outcomes where I'm not fixated as much on that idea. But yeah, in a vacuum, could they go sign Juan Soto? Yeah, of course they could. I'm just telling you from what my expectations are, which include what knowledge I do have of Mike Elias and how the baseball ops have worked and what I how I expect them to continue
Well,
working
they've had
is
to work that way, is my
right.
point. They've been
Right.
under the constraints of
Sure.
running a true,
Right. But
poor, small market, poorly run in every way from a revenue standpoint, underperforming by any stretch of any imagination and underperforming financially, spiritually,
right.
all the way
But
through. How does that change? I think there's got to be something going on here this offseason that feels drastically different than the way it used to be. Friday news dumps and we're moving the fence is what I've got to work with right now,
fair
and
enough.
I'm working with it. And your expectations that they're not going to sign Burns. I don't want them to sign. I don't want the Stockholm syndrome is you don't want them to spend their money.
No,
You know what I mean?
no.
Like, because you
No.
think that there's such a limited amount of it that you're living on the small budget mind guy thing, and I'm living on that these guys are billionaires. If they're going to operate it bone on bone with 10,000 empty seats in the outfield, then this thing is, I don't think it's going to be a disaster. It's just never going to be great. You know what I mean? Like,
Agreed. Agreed. I agree on that. Just to clarify on the Burns thing, because I don't want people listening just saying I don't like Corbin Burns. My idea on Corbin Burns is, and here's an example of where I'll push back on what you said a few minutes ago that set me off. If you're going to sign Corbin Burns, give him a 4-year deal and blow the offer out of the water in terms of average annual value. Let me pay a premium for his prime years, and then Scott Boras and Corbin Burns can brag to everyone that he's the highest paid pitcher in baseball in terms of AAV, right? Rather than an 8-year deal, knowing that 4 of those years are going to be a lousy value. I'd rather just say, hey, you want $50 million a year? I'll give you 50, but we're going to do a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal, in those terms. And Burns is just an example. I said the same thing years ago about not for the Orioles to do it necessarily, because by that point they were already heading towards the rebuild because they had crashed and burned. But that's what I had always said about Manny Machado, or some of these guys that get these deals where it's this long-term deal that has the opt-outs. I'd much rather just lean right into that and say, hey, I'm going to give you a ton of money, but it's only going to be for a shorter-term period of time. But it's going to be so much more in terms of average
But
annual
then you
value.
set the market and you piss off the other owners too. Like you
Well,
got that going on, all day long too. So, right? I mean,
should I care about that? I mean, you're the one talking about I shouldn't care about trying to save money. Why should I care about ticking off the other owners then? You know what I mean? Like, through that lens, I mean, hey, I'll say this much.
that's a big part of being new in the club, Mr. Rubenstein. Trust me,
Understood,
in that
but
club.
well, but you're going, you're taking a shot at me because I'm lowering the bar, but that's lowering the bar just as much then. Like, be a trendsetter then. Let's face it, the Cleveland Browns, for as much as they've gotten crushed, and that deal with Deshaun Watson has been a disaster, an absolute disaster. And the fact that he's a you know what off the field makes it even worse. But from a football standpoint, it's been an utter disaster. That deal, if Deshaun Watson was one of the best 5 players in the league right now, and the Browns were a Super Bowl contender, you would start seeing more players, more quarterbacks getting fully guaranteed contracts. It failed spectacularly, and now the owner's going to be dug in even more than more than ever in terms of that. But the point is, they set a trend. I'm not saying it was a smart one, obviously, but they did that. So I hear what you're saying. Look.
And I hear what you're saying that I'm being unrealistic and that I'm being too rough on you when Mr. Rubenstein sat in front of me and said, well,
No,
the way we do it in the industry is whatever we make, we spend. That's what we tend to do. That's what he said. That's what we tend to do. And I'm
well,
thinking to myself,
my
well, this is
question.
where Peter got over his skis 20 years ago, spending $25 million more a year on David Segui and Conine. And literally, Peter went into hock, literally trying to chase baseball players around.
Look.
I don't think Mr. Rubenstein's going to do that, like Cohen up in New York going
Right.
crazy with money and whatnot. I'm just saying, if you're 74 years old and you're in this and you're serious about this and you have all this money coming into the stadium and stuff, this is the time to go out over your skis financially now, not later, while you have Gunnar Henderson and Rutschman and these guys, this is the time to say, let's get a little speculative here. We'll have enough money for Rutschman later on and Henderson later on when the time comes because we're going to win championships around here. I don't know that this guy has that thirst. I think this guy bought a toy. I don't think he's George Steinbrenner. I don't think he's all that involved in this. I don't think he thinks about it all day. I don't think he, literally, I don't think he's going to be that involved in it that when they come to him and say, give me $400 million for this or $500 million for that. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think they have Stockholm syndromed everyone here to just make it okay. We'll never talk about it because it won't happen. This will be the only
Well,
argument we ever have about it because they will set their bar and their standard for what they're willing to do. And they might look more like the Brewers than the Cardinals, before it's all over with. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Again, I'll just go. What I'm pushing back on primarily is Juan Soto is not the only path to winning the World Series. The Yankees had Juan Soto. They lost in 5 games to the Dodgers, right? I mean, the Padres had Juan Soto. They didn't make it to the World Series. The Nats did win a World Series with Soto, albeit he was what, 19 or 20 years old at that point in time, 21, whatever he was. It's just, look, I'm in full agreement as far as raising the bar and raising the payroll and wanting to see this organization have a vision and wanting to see it grow and be better. I will say this, and part of this is also, I don't expect owners to lose tens of millions of dollars every year either. But we also know
Dirty
you,
secrets, they never lose, but
right.
yeah.
They never lose
He's already
money.
said that
And
too. He's already,
right.
so that's
And
my
they
point is if you went
sure.
100 million deep
So
for 5 years for fun, just for fun, you get the money back out when you
fair
flipped
enough.
it,
Right.
and the whole thing would be worth more because you'd have Juan Soto on the bill, but you'd have the best players here. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I
Oh, but
that
see,
is.
one thing I'll say that I think, and I mentioned, and we've gone way long here, and that's fine because we don't talk too much baseball this time of year, which is part of the problem, to your point, and I'm not going to disagree with that. But
Usually we're talking about
that's
last
also
night's game, dude. I mean,
right,
that's
and but that's
right.
also, and the baseball offseason's slower in general. I mean, the Dodgers, the Dodgers might they might sign Juan Soto. They haven't done it yet, right? And so many of these free agents out there are waiting to see what happens with the biggest fish. I mean, that's how this works in baseball. But I guess now I lost my train of thought. Great.
That's all right. We've been at it a long time. You have a whole off season to think it through. You'll text me later and be like, "I." And another point is,
It's
how
just, but
dare you accuse me of Stockholm syndrome when I might have it?
well, it, I don't. For one
I
thing,
think we've all been
for
capped
me
into
to
this
have.
to think that they're the Yankees, they're the Red Sox, they're the Dodgers. We get what we have. We're a farm system for them. Dude, this goes back to that. No offense, dude. You weren't even on the planet when Reggie Jackson and Don Baylor and Bobby Grich and Doug DeSensei and Fred Lynn, all these guys were going other places. And my father's trying to explain Charlie Finley to me, man. You know what I mean? Like, I was 12 when they went on strike, man. This has been in my blood since birth,
I
and I've
got
been on
you.
the radio since I've been 15. So, like, I'm into this, but I'm realistic. I met the guy. He doesn't know anything about baseball, and he's going to do whatever they tell him to do.
Well, it's
And
good
your
that he has a
point
good
is,
general manager then.
yeah,
I
well,
mean,
right.
I you run the if you have someone who knows about baseball, you run the risk of him being Jerry Jones. You run the risk of him being Peter Angelos in the late 90s, who thought he knew a lot about baseball, right? So I'm okay with having an owner that doesn't know a whole lot about baseball unless they don't have good people running it for them. And that's ultimately, look,
I don't
baseball
think Juan
ops.
Soto would be a mistake. I just think he'd be expensive.
I never suggested he'd be a mistake either. I guess for me, a couple points, and the one point I was going to make here. One thing they need, this is part of the problem and part of what they need to do a better job of. And they do this way better on social media than they had. I think that's something they've done on a, and I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but it's something that they've done better the last couple of years. I think people that have done that for them on some of their video
To your point,
production.
they had a whole network for 20 years and couldn't figure out what to do with it,
Sure.
right? Like,
But
literally.
part of this is, some of what I'm pushing back on here is I hear everything you're saying about Juan Soto. And look, Juan Soto's an unbelievable player. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame, assuming he has a long enough career to do it. I mean, he's that kind of guy.
And you don't have to give up guys on the farm to get him, by the way.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. There are also a lot of other really good players you could sign there that aren't going to cost a 13-year commitment and all that as well. But part of the issue here that they need to do a better job of is They already have their Juan Soto in Gunnar Henderson. And I don't mean that in terms of you can't sign another good player. What I mean is you have someone who already is a young superstar at age 23 that you should be marketing like a superstar at age 23. And so you're talking about it through the lens of not just adding a really dynamic, amazing baseball player, but also using that player to sell to your fan base. My point is, you already have Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and guys to sell to your fan base. Start with doing a better job of selling them to your fan base. And then, yes, we can talk about augmenting and all of that as well. So I think for that part of it, and the other, my final point that I wanted to make, because I brought this up and you even brought it up. Part of what I, my assessment here in trying to anticipate what this is going to look like and what the vision is going to be is also keeping in mind where Mike Elias and where Sig Meidel originated, St. Louis. St. Louis let Albert Pujols walk. Now, Albert Pujols was much older than Juan Soto is at this point, so I don't want to say it's apples to apples because it's not. But the point is, they looked at a decision that was wildly unpopular and maybe hurt them from a baseball standpoint for maybe a year or two at most, just looking at how Albert Pujols' career arc played out in LA with in
He
Anaheim
left in
with the Angels.
11. I want to see what they did in all those years because that would be an interesting, that's an
Well,
interesting
they
tell.
were in the World Series
Soon
in
thereafter.
13. They lost to the Red Sox in 13. But again, there's a case, and it's the same thing. It's not just the moves you make. Sometimes it's the moves that you don't make, right? And I think for an organization like the Orioles, who, yes, I expect more from, and I do want them to raise the bar, and I do
Dude,
want
the
to see a
next
higher
couple years,
payroll.
they lost the NLCS in 12 and 7 games. They almost went to the World Series. They lost the World Series in 13. They lost the Championship Series in 5 games in 14. They did okay, you know
You're
what I
right.
mean? Like,
So
they were fine without him.
again, the point here is, look, in a vacuum, yeah, they could go out and sign Juan Soto. And if we find out, and I'm sending out the WNST text and we're all shocked that the Orioles signed Juan Soto, I'll happily come on here and say, Nestor, I was totally wrong. And I give you credit because they're thinking in terms of landing a big fish. My goodness, it doesn't get bigger than that, short of signing Ohtani last offseason. I just don't expect that to happen. That said, I don't want them, and nor do I expect them, nor is it remotely acceptable for them to continue to operate as they have, as Mike Elias was under John
Well, then there
Angelos.
better be 4 bags of donuts under the tree. There better
Sure,
be a starter,
sure.
a reliever. They better go get the
Exactly.
kid out in LA and bring the outfielder in and make Santander happy too. Have 14 players with 9 positions. I mean, literally, because they're not signing Gunnar, I don't think. And if that's the signing, that somehow, some way they get an extension to give him enough money to keep him around, and that's the apple of their eye, and that's what they want to do, that's cool. You know what I mean? That's good. But
Well,
I
and
also know that they can't guarantee him any more than you can guarantee me that Adley Rutschman's not going to be the biggest bust since Earl Williams. Like, I don't know. I mean, by the way, let's take a break. We'll come back, talk football. We get all off season. You and I could do at least 30, 40 minutes just on Rutschman and on this, how uniquely, unbelievably, bizarrely weird all of this has been for 90 days at the end of the year, and how they have to pound sand in the offseason where, he's not getting the extension, right? So, I mean, we would have been thinking that way a year ago. So they got, they didn't score any runs in the playoffs. They got uppity fans. They have empty seats. They have a new person who doesn't know her way down Pratt Street. They have an owner that's sort of here with a lot of money that I have a lot of expect. My bar has been raised by the fact that he's here. So, I'm trying to get out of
sure.
Stockholm and saying, okay, I don't have the Angelo syndrome, whatever you would call that, which is everything you've pointed out and everything that it is. What's it going to be? And that's my question. I'll leave that for Katie Griggs. I'll let you yell at me later. I'll buy you pizza. Pizza John's make you feel better. All
Sounds good.
right.
And look, it's all love. I just the Stockholm, I didn't appreciate being lumped in with everyone else on that because I think there's a lot of nuance even within that group that
I
you're
think we
labeling
had
for
to
them.
lower our expectations. You saw who was running it, right? So
Sure.
now that's changed. My expectation was to get a media pass back. That
Well,
hasn't changed. My expectation was if they're going to move the wall back, I don't mean a Friday Zoom or whatever for your purposes. I'm just sort of like, it was sort of shameful hiding from it. We made a mistake. We made a boo-boo.
Yeah, it
We're
was just weird.
overcorrecting. We're admitting a mistake. We don't make mistakes. They own your mistake. Own it out on Pratt Street. Let's talk about it. Because talking about it's good. You want people talking about your baseball team, not hiding it on a Friday afternoon. And that is part of the Stockholm syndrome of, well, we're a little ashamed of this and we made a mistake and it might associate us with Peter or the old, we all saw the old
You
regime.
know
You don't
what I
need
was
to
just
run from
thinking?
it.
I know we want to wrap this up. They should have just not said anything and then everyone show up on opening day and be like, wait a second, why is the wall moved in? That would have actually been really funny.
I don't know.
I'm kidding,
You know what I
obviously. I think that
want
would have
them
been
to
funny
be,
though.
what they can't be, which is transparent, out in front, local, regular people, honest, accountable, pick up the phone. Like, that's what the Orioles were in my childhood. That's what built the Orioles. It's not what it's been the last 30 years. The Ravens went through a long period where that's what they were when they got here. And we've argued logos and Bs and all of that stuff 2 weeks ago. I'm from a different era in that way, but there are 10,000 empty seats and they got to get somebody back. And it might as well be me.
Sure.
And I'm holding my credit card. And my last name's Aparicio and I'm wearing an orange jersey in the middle of November when you would much rather be talking about, is Justin Tucker going to kick it straight? What's happening to Lamar? Harbaugh, too. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us. We'll argue more in the next segment.